Well, good morning, ALNYC. Welcome to our Sunday service. I'm so grateful that I get to be speaking with you guys, diving into our continuation on the Book of Acts.
Come on, man.
So I just want to give all of y'all a round of applause and everyone that really helped make last Sunday an incredible service.
Yes.
The worship team, my incredible wife, and Caleb. I think you guys all did such a great job. Just really representing the campus. And honestly, who knew Caleb was so funny? You know, I was cracking up the whole time, man. You did a great job. You did a great job. And so just to kind of recap from last week, you know, Caleb looked into the story of Peter and John before the Sanhedrin for healing a lame beggar at the temple gate. And they go into this incredible Holy Spirit-filled speech about how they're not looking to please man, but they're looking to please God.
Wow.
And when they're tempted to be afraid, they prayed for more boldness, and we see that God continued to bless their faith. And so that's what we're picking up here. So we're going to hop right into it. In Acts 4, verse 32. And it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. And there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Thank you. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold the place of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest of it and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. That's an intense scripture. Amen. We're going to dive into it, but I want to break it down. Right, we see at the beginning, right, Luke paints this incredible picture of the early church. It says that they were one in heart and mind.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's like just an incredible thing to think about, right? You think about this group of people right here, how different we are, and how different, and how that would be, that's such an interesting thing, right? They were probably so different. They have different perspectives, different cultures. They're coming from different ways of thinking, and yet they were one in heart and mind.
Right.
And I think it just shows that they were on the same page, right? I'm not sure that it was easy for them to be that way, but because of God laying the foundation through Peter and John, they were unified. And then we see that this scripture dives into two examples. We see Joseph or Barnabas. He sold his field, right? And then he gave everything to the church. And then we see the second example in Ananias and Sapphira. They also sell their land, but decide to withhold some of the money and lie about it. And then they're struck down on the spot. That's pretty intense. And clearly there was a difference to God in their actions. You know, which brings me to the title of this lesson, which is being all in. That was the difference.
Come on, bro.
And if you've ever played poker, you've heard, probably heard the term.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go all in, yo. Caleb knows he's lost many hands that way. Basically, what you're saying is, essentially, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is because I think I have the cards to beat everybody else at the table, or at least, you know, get them to go out. And if you win that hand, you know, sometimes you win double or triple the amount of money you put in, right? That's incredible. There's a lot of reward, but there's also a lot of risk with it. Because if you're all in and someone says that they call you, you know, they match the amount of money that you put in, and you lose that hand, then you're out of the game, right? So going all in has a lot of reward, but it has a lot of risk too. And usually if someone goes all in, it takes a lot of guts.
Right.
You have to have a lot of guts. Even outside of poker, the same can apply, right? If you go all in on something, it takes guts because you don't know what it's gonna take. You don't know if you're gonna be successful or if you're gonna go for broke,
right?
You don't know. But back to the scripture, we see that Ananias and Sapphira were very obviously not all in. And we see how that ended. And I think I do want to make this point. I'm not going to dive too much into this, but I think for God's people, at really critical points, He wants to make a clear statement that compromise will not get them where they're trying to go. Right? So we need to be transparent and honest. And I think that's the point that God is really trying to make through their example. And you could say, why is that so harsh? You know, but God does this throughout his story. Even in the Old Testament, we see multiple examples of this. In the Exodus story, someone goes out to grab firewood on the Sabbath and dies, right? And then after the conquest in Jericho, a guy's whole family is swallowed. God uses these moments as teaching points for his people. And it's easy to get wrapped up in the weeds of a story like this. Like, God, why were you so harsh to them, right? On the spot, they just die. And you miss the entire point of what God is actually trying to say here. See, God wants his church to be all in for him. He doesn't want us to be wishy-washy with our devotion. He wants each of us to be all in and be in for him. And it's important to mention that, you know, it's not just looking like we're all in. Because I think that's what Ananias and Sapphira fell short, is that they were trying to look the part. They wanted to look like they were all in, but really they weren't.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it. And when we look at Barnabas' example, he was somebody that was actually all in. And as the church, as people that really want to follow God, we can't just talk the talk, amen, but we need to walk the walk.
Amen.
We need to be all in. And so what does it take to be all in? And this brings me to my first point. What it takes is being open.
Come on.
When looking at Ananias and Sapphira's example, it wasn't that they didn't give it all, right? That wasn't the point that God was trying to make, but it's that they weren't being transparent about it, that they hid the fact that they weren't giving it all, that they wanted to look like they were giving. God wanted to demonstrate to the early church the example he wanted through them. Being transparent is easier said than done. I'm sure you guys know that. Imagine being Ananias and Sapphira, right? What would have been going through your head? I'm sure there would have been a lot of stuff. And I think for most people, it would have been more concerned with how are people perceiving them. You know, they wanted to be viewed as people that were generous without actually giving it all up, right? Ultimately, they wanted to look good for people. While Barnabas, and you see his example, he just wanted to do good for God. I think of Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows.
Wow.
The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." See, there's no hiding from God. Similarly, how Caleb mentioned last week, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the way and how people perceive you. I think for everybody, that's so easy to do. And wanting to be a people pleaser. But God is trying to make this clear statement to us that won't fly in his church. So why do we even act like we got it all together? And we know that we're all messed up. But what makes it hard for you to be completely open? Right, think about that. What makes it hard for you? Maybe it's people pleasing, but maybe it's something else. The first part of being open starts with admitting where you're at and how you feel. And I would rather be a part of a group that admitted how messed up they were constantly than a group that never said anything and then acted like everything was okay. Right? You know, when I remember one time when I was a kid, you know, I played a lot of sports growing up. I did basketball, I did baseball, I did like tennis in high school, and even fencing for a little bit. Something different, I know. I know, a little quirky, but you know, I even tried football for a little bit. And I remember, you know, when I was like 10 or 11, I joined the football team, and very early on, I realized that football wasn't for me. You know, I used to hate as a kid, and even now, I still do. I used to hate being yelled at, right? I don't know if you guys can relate to that. I used to hate being yelled at. And if you know football at all, that's so normal. For the coach to just yell at the team, it's just so normal. It's a part of it, honestly. It's like motivation, I guess, to some people. And I remember one time, you know, this player kept messing up in one of the drills. And so the coach would make all of us run laps. And I was like, yo, why am I running? Because this guy keeps messing up. I did not understand that. And he was yelling at us the whole time. I'm like, yo, this guy, yell at this guy. This guy keeps messing up. And so I never understood that. And so, you know, I remember a few weeks into the season, you know, I was like not feeling it. I did not want to do it. And so I remember calling my mom, like crying, because I was like, I do not want to play football anymore, you know, and luckily she just took me out. But oftentimes, you know, I think like me in football, you know, we can feel so much about what's happening to us. Maybe it's not football, right? But maybe it's career stuff. Maybe it's work, and maybe it's your home life. It's something else. We can feel a lot, and that's completely normal. Those feelings, what you feel about whatever it is completely normal. And that's okay. But what we lack is that expressing of those emotions, the expressing of those issues. Mm. Being completely truthful means expressing all the craziness you're feeling, you're going through, despite how the other person might think or respond to you expressing those things. You know, if I hadn't told my mom that I didn't want to do football anymore, I would still be playing football and I would be completely miserable. And I'm sure that there was a passing thought in my head about how my old teammates would view me if I had stopped. But I realized that that wasn't worth me lying to myself to just stay in there. And so each of you need to ask yourself, you know, is there something that you need to get open about? And sometimes, you know, what I notice is that people will either say something completely different from what they're feeling, what's actually going through their head, or they just won't tell the whole truth. I think that's what we need to be careful of. Yeah. If we're going to be a church that is going to be all in for God, you can't tell half the truth. You can't tell 75% of the truth. You have to tell the whole truth. Even if it's dirty, if it's unpleasant, you can't hold back. And so what holds you back from saying the whole truth sometimes? Is it fear? Is it your own pride? You know, I just want to give some examples of what I think, you know, we can be more truthful about as people and as the church. Amen?
Amen.
And so, one, I think if someone tells you something that hurts you, right? If they say something or do something that hurts you, we need to be open about that. We need to be truthful. We can't hold back, because that's going to hurt that relationship with that person. You got to be completely open about when things like that happen. I think another thing that we can be more truthful on or more open is your emotions and your doubts that you're wrestling with. It's easy to have a ton of different thoughts that pass through your head each week, you know, and I think oftentimes we let some of those thoughts simmer, right? We just kind of like push it in the background. Even doubts about your relationships with God, or like, do I even believe in God? All this stuff, or all these things that happen, right? We kind of just let it simmer in the background. And that not expressing it actually hurts you more than if you just had told somebody and got open about it. Not saying anything leads to separation, right, in your relationship with God. So be open about what you're feeling, your doubts, all of those things. Another thing is, I think, that relationship, right? Sometimes we, you know, maybe it's just, it starts with just a boy or a girl, right, in your class, or somebody that, you know, is giving you a bunch of attention, right? It feels good. It feels great, you know, when you get that attention from somebody. And but I know that that can be, not telling somebody about that can actually hurt more than it can help. And I remember in high school, I remember being in high school and, you know, a girl, you know, was giving me a bunch of attention, and, you know, she told me that she was feeling me, and I was like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, nothing gonna happen. But, you know, I think the thought in my head was like, okay, that's not a big deal. I just kind of brush it to the side. You know, I think there was that temptation, but I ended up just telling the people that were in my life about it, right? Like, about the situation. And, you know, we were able to have like a joke about it, but they, me just telling them about that, you know, gave some accountability to me too. You know, I think sometimes we kind of like to entertain those things, and that's why we push it off to the side, right? Like, I'm not gonna do nothing about it. I'm just thinking about it, right? Like, I'm just kind of like pushing it off to the side. You know, but I would actually, and I think we tell ourselves that these situations will kind of resolve itself. And maybe it's not necessarily with, you know, a guy or a girl or something like that. Maybe it's something else. We say, hey, that's going to resolve itself. And I don't need to pull anyone else in. But I would question, honestly, why you say that, right? If it's not a big deal, then why not just tell somebody about it? Right? Why do you have to tell yourself it's going to resolve itself? So I don't need to pull anybody else in. And look, I've been somebody that's been a disciple for about 10 years now. And I've seen people come and go, people that say they want to follow God 1 minute, and then, you know, the next they decide, you know, this relationship or this hurt is more important than that. And I can tell you that the majority of people that decide following God isn't worth it, or it isn't what they were about anymore, started with them not being completely open about what's going on in their life. It starts with something that you say, hey, that's gonna resolve itself. Hey, that's okay. You know, like, I'm just gonna push that off to the side. It starts with that, but it doesn't end there, okay? And so I've had to train myself to think that if I don't think something is a big deal, I'm gonna still tell the guys in my life to keep my walk with God a priority, and to not let Satan get a foothold. Amen?
Yes.
Two more quick things that I think we can be open about. It's just things at home, right? I think sometimes we compartmentalize these different aspects of our lives, right? But if you're not being completely honest with yourself and with the people around you, if you're not pulling them into, how are things going at home?
Yeah.
That's super important. I know a lot of us live with our families. They're not easy sometimes, you know? Amen. So it's helpful to just have somebody else validate that too. You know, see, you can just hear me. I'm like, yeah, yo, that's crazy. You know, it's helpful. It's helpful when you pull somebody else in. And the last thing is that maybe you just need to be real about your relationship with God and where your relationship with God is at right now.
Right?
Maybe you don't really have a relationship with God besides coming to a church service every so often, right? Maybe this is your first Sunday service you're coming out to. Maybe you've come out to, you know, a Bible talk or something like that. I think that's important. You got to be real and open with where you're at, so then you can then move forward.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think someone that I feel has done such an incredible job and has been such an example of being open with me is Shay. Shay has done such a great job with it. He's great. I feel like I know exactly what's going on through his head, his fears, his insecurities, all of it, you know. And I think he truly sets such a great example of being completely truthful. And I know it's because of that aspect of his life that he's grown so much.
Amen.
Just that aspect alone. And so, you know, once you're able to be real with yourself and others about where you're at right now, then you're ready to give everything. So this is my second point. And we look at the example of Barnabas and then Ananias and Sapphira. It's evident that one gave it all and the other didn't. A part of being all in on something means giving it all you have.
Right.
I'm just going to rattle off a few scriptures here so you can just listen. But in Psalm 73, verse 25, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion." Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Jeremiah 29, 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart."
Right.
I think the key with all these scriptures here is giving your all.
Yeah.
And that God is our everything. And God wants us to give him everything. He doesn't want your 60% self. He doesn't want your 80%. He wants your 100% self.
Yeah.
He wants all of you, your emotions, your crazy thinking, maybe it's just your messed up selves. He wants his church to be all about him. And it's almost trivial to say otherwise, you know, because I'm sure all of us really want to give him everything and are really trying to do that. Because you guys are here right now, you know. But whether you have been trying to put God first for 10 years or one day, I think we all need a reality check sometimes. And so giving God everything means first giving him all of our time. What does that look like? I think a lot of times it's investing in relationships, right? We got a lot of faces here. We got a lot of people. There's a lot of friendships you could have, a lot of relationships that can be built. So invest in those relationships. Giving God everything is using our time for him. I think it also is, you know, building the kingdom. Right? What's your time looking like?
Oh, man.
Does it show that it's all about God? Is it invested in building in the kingdom, right? Are you helping other people know who God is and be all in also? I think another thing too, especially as college students, right, is money, right, is giving. I know we were talking about it before, and we even had a bunch of classes on giving. But giving is so important, right? We see here they gave monetarily, right, to the church. You know, they gave all that they had. But I think the behind that, even the thought process is, are you generous? Do you, and what they did, what I love, is that they were seeing needs in the church and they were meeting those needs.
Yeah.
Right? They were like, "I'm going to sell my house to provide for these people in the church." That's incredible. If one of y'all sell like your car or something like that to support somebody else, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? They were generous. And so are we a campus ministry that's generous?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I think is our focus and our motivation. People tend to focus on a bunch of different things. They focus on school, they focus on maybe it's just working out, or maybe it's their career, you know, they focus on a bunch of or anything.
Right.
But where is your focus at? I think that could be one big indicator of if you're really showing God that you're all in, right? Is your focus on God constantly? And not saying that any of those things are bad, and I'm gonna touch on this now or in a second here, but I think all those things are great. But it's really where your motivation is coming from, where your focus is at. And so, what is it for you? Right? Yeah, sorry. What would it be like to give your all to God in church? What would that look like for you? And I think if you're having a hard time trying to figure that out, sometimes I would say actually just try working smarter, not necessarily harder. I do think that there's an aspect of this that giving your all does mean working really hard for God, right? I think there is that aspect. But I also don't know that it always means that. You know, giving your all is also this kind of mentality, right? Bringing God in whatever you do with your, just naturally, and having a kingdom mindset, it actually makes it easier to be all in. Because I think you could hear that, and you're like, that sounds like a lot of work. That's kind of overwhelming, right? Like, being all in, like, all of that, it just sounds a little overwhelming. But I think sometimes, you know, we don't have to compartmentalize these different aspects of our life. You know, we can condense and combine these topics. So, right, it's investing in relationships. You know, maybe you invest in relationships just by doing life together. Things that you already like to do. Maybe you invite somebody over for a meal at your house. Or, you know, you take somebody to go work out with you together. Or you guys go get your nails done or something like that. You know, but you're investing in these relationships and you're still doing the things that you would have done with your time. Mm-hmm. But now it's like this kingdom mindset.
Amen.
That's what being all in is about.
Yeah.
Is this mindset. Where is your focus at? And so get creative. You know, I would encourage you guys to ask advice, right? Ask advice about, hey, how can I really get creative with being all in with my life? What would that look like for me? Mm-hmm. Giving everything doesn't have to be overwhelming, but it can be a joy. And you'll want to give your everything if you see how God can use you. So brainstorm this week. How can I work smarter, not necessarily harder? But how can I show God that I am all in here? And just to close out, if we as the church can all devote ourselves to being completely all open with each other, not giving only just bits and pieces of our life, but sharing the parts that are ugly or the parts that we think aren't important, then we're going to be able to give God our everything. And the church will have their needs met, just like in the early church. They're not going to be lacking in anything, and we're going to be all one in heart and mind. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, guys.